Audrey, it kind of reminds me of, where'd she go? Oh, okay. Well, no wonder I couldn't find her. Well, the rest of you can keep turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And my purpose this morning is very simple. And it really is every week. You may not be able to see it sometimes, but my purpose this morning is to brag on Jesus. So, that's what we want to do because Christmas is such a wonderful, wonderful time, but we can lose sight of what makes it so special, so powerful, so amazing. And we can even begin to resent it or not even enjoy it. And that's a shame, and I understand it. You know, I totally get it. Christmas is hard sometimes for some families and some situations. And man, that's part of it. So we're just going to brag on Jesus this morning. So let's look together. Luke chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. And we're going to pick this up in the middle of moment when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. And so we'll just go ahead and start reading verse 26, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. But we're especially going to key in on verses 31 and through 33. If you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, this Christmas morning. Thank you for the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior. Lord, speak to our hearts now and fill us with the true spirit of Christmas and the right understanding of Christmas. And Lord, help us to rejoice in you today. Thank you so much. Lord, speak to us now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right. So the angel comes to Mary. And, you know, we're pretty familiar with that whole part of the story. And it's quite an amazing thing. It's a powerful moment, and for Mary it's an amazing moment, but I want us to key in on a couple of things that the angel says to Mary here in these verses. And first of all, in verse 31, notice he tells her, Gabriel speaks to Mary, you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Call his name Jesus. Well, that is from the Old Testament, the name Jesus, or, you know, really when you come to the Hebrew language, there is no J sound. Okay? There is no J. So when you come to the names that are found in the Old Testament, and you come to Jacob, there's no J sound. So you know it's not J. Well, it's Yaakov. Okay? If you come to Jerusalem, well, there's no J sound. So it's Jerusalem. All right? Typically, it's replaced with a Y sound. All right? But the King James translators brought that over into English with the J. So you see Jehovah. Well, there, it's not Jehovah. That's not, you know, there's no J sound. So Yehovah or... And here's the interesting thing with Hebrew. I spent a year in Hebrew, and I can tell you what I know about it in about 5 minutes or less. You know, Hebrew, you have no vowels. Okay? So, for example, if you looked at Tara's name, well, it would just be T-R. So you have to provide the vowels. And you might come with Turu or Teri or, you know, I mean, could be a lot of variations. Well, it's the same with, you know, and especially with the special name of God, Yahweh or Jehovah. We often translate Jehovah, but it's probably closer to Yahweh. But we're supplying the vowels there so that we fill in that. And but that's part of the name of Jesus. And in the Hebrew way of saying it would be Yeshua instead of Jesus. So when you hear people talk about Yeshua, you'll sometimes hear Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. And so that is something that the angel gave to Mary. You're to call him Jesus. Well, the name means Yahweh will save. I mean, you come right down to it. That's what it means. Yahweh saves. What better name could Jesus be given? Okay? What greater thing that His name could communicate? And that's one of the things that we want to remember is the names of God are so important because they communicate. They tell us something about the character of God, something about the person of God. Well, He is a saving God. And so... the name testifies to the fact that God Himself will save, but even more than that, it testifies to the fact that Jesus is the one who saves. And so we talked about Wednesday night. We looked at that Charles Wesley Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and there's a line in there that says, God and sinners reconciled. Well, folks, that's what Christmas is about. It's about reconciliation. We can be reconciled to God and we can be reconciled to one another. We can have peace with one another even. And so, what a blessing that is. Well, the name of Jesus is powerful. It is weighted with spiritual power. And, you know, I've said this, but, you know, you just don't hear people curse in the name of Buddha or Muhammad or some of these. Do you? I mean, how many times do you hear that on TV or a movie or, you know, at work or wherever? But how many times will you hear the name of Jesus? Will you hear it often? Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. I mean, when you are just being bombarded with temptation, with fear, with whatever it is, when you just say the name of Jesus, what a difference it makes. And I want to encourage you. It's almost like there's some people who are afraid to say the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you to, I mean, you know, we're not using His name. We're speaking His name in reverence and in love and in appreciation for all He is. So I want to encourage you when temptation just floods your soul and you're down or you're hurting or you're panicked or you're stressed out or whatever it is, just speak His name. Call on Him. Some of you are nodding your heads. There is power in the name of Jesus, and Jesus is able to save. Acts chapter 4, in verse 12, Peter gave us these words. He said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved." There's power in the name of Jesus. So appreciate that. And also in this passage, in verse 32, it says, "He will be called the Son of the Highest," or "the Son of the Most High." And in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that's the way that they translate the name for God, Elyon, is Most High. And so this is highly significant. Why? Because in the Jewish thought, the Son is equal to the Father. If you're the son of there are moments where the Bible speaks of someone who's called the son of the devil or son of evil. Well, you're just being equated with evil itself. But when he says he is the Son of the Most High, folks, that's speaking and it's raising Jesus up and it's elevating Him. It's magnifying Him. It's putting Him up on the highest place. And it's speaking to the fact that He is not just another man born. He's not just a special man. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a great teacher. He's not just a wonderful person. He's God come in the flesh. He is the Son of the Most High God. And you and I may be sons and daughters of God, but we're none of us the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. Well, so Jesus is exalted and He is lifted up, and His greatness is communicated all through the Scripture. There are prophecies, and we've been looking at those this month in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The Bible gives us this word that tells us that for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And just notice, we're going to look at the names in a moment, but just notice who that's addressed to. You know, one of the important moments around the Christmas tree when you're divvying out those presents. Well, who's this one for? Well, there's nothing written on here. I mean, y'all have that at your house? And then say, "Oh, well, that's so-and-so's." Like you're supposed to know that or something, you know. Well, it's important. But the Bible says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Hallelujah. We've been given. And it's to us. It's to all of us. And so, praise the Lord. We have been blessed, we have been given so much here in Jesus. Well, let's continue on in that verse. "And the government shall be upon His shoulder." Now let me just remind you of what went upon the Lord Jesus' shoulder. It was the cross that He carried to Calvary. But oh my friends, He has made the way for us and He is our... Notice this. He says, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it." It is awesome. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23... Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 is quoting here from Isaiah 7, but it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see, He's been given unto us, and He is God with us. And you need to thoroughly grasp the fact that God has given His Son, not just so that you could be saved, not just so you could have heaven and eternal life and be forgiven, but it's so that that you could have His presence. You could have Him. See, that's what it is to be a Christian. It's not some outward thing. Oh, I go to church, a First Baptist church. No, that's not what it is to be a Christian. I've been baptized. No, that's not what it is. It's not about giving your money or doing good things. It's about a personal relationship with God through Jesus, and He becomes real to you. And you get to know Him. And that's what's needed. You know, we got enough folks that know about God. We need some folks who know Him, who know Jesus. That's where it's at. That's where the power comes. That's where the victory comes. Well, just giving you some scriptures about who this Jesus is. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so He's revealed to us in that passage. He's revealed to us as the light. He's revealed to us as the life. He's revealed to us as the Word. The Word, the very expression of who God is. Well, so verse 14, that same passage, it says, "The Word was made flesh." We read it a moment ago. "He dwelt among us. We beheld His glory." Well, there's a lot of ways we can think about Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except through Me." Well, He's the way. He's the life. He's the truth. He is everything. In fact, the angel told Mary here in this passage, notice this, "You will call His name Jesus. He shall be great." Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, what's the old saying? Every mama crow thinks her baby's the blackest. But oh, I'm going to tell you, Mary and Joseph had something to really be thankful for and proud of, because He will be great. Now, greatness is not something that, you know, I mean, we assign greatness based on athletic ability or intellectual prowess or on, you know, a lot of external things a lot of times. Looks and charisma or charm or whatever. But the Bible says Jesus will be great. And oh, He is great. Muhammad Ali used to say He was the greatest. He wasn't. I mean, He's a great fighter, but no. Jesus is not just great, but greatest. And here's a statement written probably almost 100 years ago now. It says, "Here's a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. And then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. Never put his foot inside a big city. Never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He had nothing to do with this world except the naked power of his divine manhood. While still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. Another betrayed him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for the only piece of property that he had left, his garment. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed tomb through the pity of a friend. 19 wide centuries have come and gone." I guess we could amend that to 20 now. "And today he is the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched and all the navies that ever were built and all the parliaments that ever sat and all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as has that one solitary life. He will be great. And He is. He is. And this morning, He is not some God way off, way out there, far removed from us that we can't know and we can't understand. He's a God who comes near. And He speaks to our heart. He draws us to Himself. He helps us to know that what we ultimately need in life is not a new tie for Christmas or a new sweater or a new whatever. We need a Savior. And we're given exactly what we need. And so today, this Christmas Day, I want to just invite you, if you've never received the gift of Christmas, I mean the gift of Christmas, you know, it'd be kind of ridiculous if you're, you know, if you come back to your house in a minute and there's a gift still unopened over there, and somebody says, well, what's that one for? Oh, well, that's for you. Oh, okay. But then, Renee, you don't open it. You just let it. Is that what you're going to do? No, I didn't think so. But how odd would it be if we saw that gift and we thought, oh, yeah, okay. Well, that's good. That's nice. I'll get around to it one day, sometime. I'll get to it eventually. I'll open that present. Most of us would be all about it. We'd be tearing open that wrapping and we'd be getting right into it, receiving what was given. You see, a gift is a gift, but until you receive it, it doesn't become yours. And if you've never received the gift of Christmas, Christ Jesus Himself, then the gift is still unopened. It's there. It's all that is needed in your life. It's everything. But until you receive it for yourself, and it's not something that mom and dad can do for you or your pastor can do for you or someone can, you know, do for you. It's yours. It's your decision. And you can be a member of a church. You can be very religious. You can be a good moral person, but not have Christ. If you don't, I want to invite you this morning to open up this gift. Just open it up. Receive what Christ has done for you at the cross. He went to the cross for you. He died on the cross for you. He paid your sin debt on the cross. And they laid Him in that borrowed tomb, but we know He didn't stay there. God raised Him from the dead for you. His resurrection is the stamp of God's approval on everything that He had done. Let's bow our heads. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you can do it right now. Now, it's not something to be done flippantly or lightly, but it's something that is very, very important. I want to invite you right now. If you need Christ, open your heart to Him. Just talk to Him. Tell Him something like this. Say, Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done things wrong. But today I realize I've never received the gift of eternal life from You. I've never received You. And so today, would You come into my heart and my life? Just ask Him, Lord, would You forgive me of every sin? Wash me. Cleanse me. Lord, save me today. Save me, Lord Jesus. Ask Him. He will save you. He will hear you. Trust Him. Believe in Him. Turn to Him right now. Run to Him. Father, I thank You. Thank You for this gift of eternal life You've given us in Jesus. Lord, help us now. If there's even one who needs You, speak to their heart and draw them. If there's someone who just opened up their heart and cried out to You, Lord, help them to just completely surrender their heart and life to You. Help them to follow You. Help them to serve You. Help them to live their lives for You. Help them to be baptized and just to identify with You, Jesus. And Father, for the rest of us, Lord, there's Christians sitting here who maybe have lost sight of how precious the gift You've given us really is. Lord, draw us back this morning. Draw us back to Yourself.